This podcast brought to you by Gowin Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.
Agriculture is Saskatchewan, and 620 CKRM is your source for everything ag. Welcome to our newly expanded Saskatchewan Agriculture Today. Here's your host, Jim Smalley.
And a good afternoon. Welcome to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today, brought to you by Harvard Western Insurance. We don't judge. Here's another reminder to renew your plates today. Visit harvardwestern.com. And brought to you by Assiniboia Livestock for the most reliable and dependable way to market your livestock. Today we look at grain markets with Calgary analyst Errol Anderson. We also have a look at crops in western Saskatchewan. Yesterday we had the southeast, and today we talk with regional crop specialists in Swift Current and Kindersley. A new phone and computer tool is being developed in Alberta to help cattle producers become more productive in their marketing. The farm weather is in its usual spot at the bottom of the hour.
This is Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with 620 CKRM Agri News Director Jim Smalley.
This portion of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by Johnson's Grain, helping growers contract any type of grain. Call 1-800-324-7778. And Mazink Fuels, your local branded Petro-Canada wholesaler for over 40 years. Fill up the tank, call Mazink, 306-721-6667. A grain market analyst says commodity markets are being affected by the rising cost of crude oil. Errol Anderson with ProMarket Communications in Calgary has been watching the grain markets very closely.
The overtone of these markets is inflationary. We've got crude oil is the lead component, and all the traders are really viewing crude as the indicator. And right now, we've seen this crude market move up above 82 toward $83 a barrel. And, that is supporting the Canadian dollar as well. So we're getting gains that were somewhat unexpected on the loonie. But again, if crude continues to go up, the Canadian dollar will be well supported. But with that said, just from an outside market point of view, we're seeing the natural gas market really drop. Now, we saw the European prices over the weekend really tumble when indications that Russia was going to increase production. And then we've heard that they are not going to increase the production. So really that is really affecting the global commodity market. I think the supply chain sector is starting to clear up a bit. We're getting shipments through Seattle now, and so that's taking the strain off the Los Angeles area. This should be supportive, I believe. So we're in a very, very volatile time overall.
Anderson says canola prices remain buoyant.
I think that really the indicator, as crazy as this may sound, is crude oil because of the biodiesel component. Now, if crude oil does make a move toward $100 a barrel, then Neil's estimate could be exactly right. But if crude oil drops down towards $70 a barrel, which, you know, in my mind, we really don't have a shortage of oil. We've got a lot of manipulation in the market right now. Then the canola market will start to falter. So I really look at the energy sector as the main driver.
That's Errol Anderson with ProMarket Communications in Calgary. Crops in West Central Saskatchewan suffered significantly from drought this summer. The crops extension specialist in Kindersley, John Ippolito, says harvest has wrapped up for the year with many yields well below normal.
Harvest has actually been completed here for, I would say, a good couple of weeks. There's really nothing left out there.
How are yields?
Probably very poor is the best way to describe it. We talked to a number of lentil and wheat growers in particular that are talking single-digit yields. Canola and maybe in some cases did a little better, but it wasn't spectacular either.
So drought had a big impact in the Kindersley West Central area.
Yeah. It was probably one of the more significant droughts that they've experienced, I would say.
Which crops did best? Which did worst?
Actually, the one that probably surprised us doing as poorly as it did was probably barley. The barley didn't seem to handle the drought all that well. Flax, on the other hand, not spectacular yields, but some of the flax yields were better than we maybe would have anticipated. Lentils and durum wheat, I think, kind of surprised us. They weren't really big numbers in most cases. So, and canola, like I say, it was, I think, more over the 10, but you know, you didn't hear of too many guys talking over 20.
How are water supplies and pastures?
Actually, water supplies are way, way down. I mean, this is a region we've really, most of the region has had, you know, less than 4 inches of rain during the entire growing season. So we're seeing, you know, big sloughs and lakes even to some degree that it had had the water in them for 10 years that are now dry.
Was there much baled for feed?
Yeah, we've had quite a bit. There was quite a bit of cereal grains that were baled for feed. In some cases, even canola straw was put up for feed. There, as these sloughs and lakes dried up, there was some late seeded oats and barley. The growers put that in to take advantage of those, the moisture that was in those bottoms. And so a lot of, I would say the majority of that got used for feed. It's, in some cases, it's only been baled in the last 2 weeks because it was planted that late. But a lot of the feed, that's where it was coming from, is those slough bottoms as they dried up.
Much winter wheat, fall rye planted this year?
Not in this part of the province, no. It was dry enough that most growers weren't even considering a winter crop. I think if they'd have had some, you know, September rains or August rains, they might have considered it in a few locations because, you know, we were getting inquiries about possibility of using winter cereals for a little bit of grazing this fall and then possibly some early season grazing in or green feed next spring. But to my knowledge, I don't know if any of that crop even got planted because they were waiting for some moisture before they even started. So no, very little transpired in that regard.
John Ippolito is the crop extension specialist in Kindersley.
Back to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with Jim Smalley on 620 CKRM.
This portion is brought to you by Prairie 6-inch Eaves Troughs. An inch makes a big difference. PrairieEavesTroughs.ca and Farmtronics in Regina, your farm electronics specialists. From moisture testers to security cameras, keeping your farm running productively and efficiently since 1977. 380 Henderson Drive. Crops in southwest Saskatchewan suffered from drought this year. The crops extension specialist in Swift Current, Shannon Chant, says many farmers had below average yields.
I'd say yields definitely lower than years when we would have had average moisture. It was certainly dry this year, and I think that was difficult in a lot of places across the southwest.
Which crops did the best? Which did the worst?
I don't have actual yield numbers. I think lentils, from what I've heard, did fairly well, but I don't actually have yield numbers to back that up.
Was much baled for feed?
I know there was some regrowth of canola. There were some questions about that for feed, and there was kind of the suggestion that a lot of anything that's being cut for feed should be sent off for testing.
Has there been much winter wheat and fall rye planted in the southwest corner?
Not that I know of for sure. I know there was some because of the better moisture conditions that we had. Unfortunately, there was some moisture in harvest, which isn't great timing, but it's better than not. But that would have set up some winter wheat and some fall rye for pretty good germination this fall.
Do you expect any changes in seeding plans next spring?
I think one of the biggest things that'll be kind of a decision for where to plant what is recropping restrictions for herbicides because it was so dry this year and sometimes in previous years as well. Recropping restrictions for products can actually last longer than normal just because if there isn't enough moisture when the products are breaking down and it's warm, they can just stay to the next year. So we do have some maps that just got put up for herbicide considerations. Unfortunately, there's a lot of area that could be impacted by that next year. So it's definitely check on what herbicides were put where, how much moisture you had, and if that would be enough to break that product down.
Shannon Chant is the Provincial Crops Extension Specialist in Swift Current.
Time now for Real Agriculture with Sean Haney. Brought to you in part by Karst Holdings in Assiniboia and Schlamp's Integra Tire in Grenfell. Your locally owned Integra Tire dealers on The Source, 620 CKRM.
This is your RealAgriculture.com update. Bring the energy of Real Ag Radio to your next customer meeting or conference. From your stage, we'll record an episode in person to inform and provide insight on the latest in agriculture. Sean Haney here with RealAgriculture.com and Real Ag Radio. I'm now going to play a conversation for you that Real Agriculture's Lara Demozak had with Dr. Ryan Brook of the University of Saskatchewan talking about growing wild pig populations.
Take us to the beginning of why you started researching wild pigs and why they're in Canada.
I got this wonderful job at the University of Saskatchewan in February of 2010. And I distinctly remember saying to my department head, so what is it you want me to look at? And he kind of gave me a strange look and said, we hired you because we like what you do. So go do good research and you get to do whatever you want. One thing that had sort of come across my radar a few times in previous years were these wild boar, wild pigs that were on the prairies. And so we started looking and asking around, and the more we looked and the more we asked, we realized that two things. One is that they're here. Two, that globally they are a massive problem.
So it sounds like the U.S. is a little bit more proactive about this situation or this issue in the States.
Oh, yeah. And part of that is, I mean, you know, I think we talk about the stages of grief. Canada has sort of entered into the stages of grief of pigs. Unfortunately, the first stage is denial.
Yeah.
But to sort of back up also and answer your other question about how did this start, there are no native pigs in Canada of any kind. People often say wild boar, but it's actually much more complex than that. In the 1980s and really into the 90s, there was this big push to diversify agriculture. And so we have elk ranches, we have emu farms, we have wild boar farms came in all of the provinces, and the Yukon Territory all at least dabbled a bit in that. And Saskatchewan, Alberta, Quebec, Manitoba went whole hog, if you will, into this and brought in quite a large number of European wild boar, put them inside a fence to be raised as meat. But what happened at that time also was that some experts said, well, if you want really productive wild animals or with these wild boar, cross them with a domestic pig. And because a domestic pig has an extra set of ribs, so it's longer, it's a much bigger animal. Like on our farm growing up, we had Durick Landrace sows that were 800 plus pounds and putting out, I personally helped birth, you know, one female put out 23 piglets in one birth. And so you can get these tremendously high reproductive rates, which have been bred into domestic pigs over, of course, a very, very long time. And unfortunately, what that did was create what we often call super pigs. These hybrids are bigger, which is important when it comes to the cold. Size matters tremendously, that bigger is better for surviving in the cold, but also these higher reproductive rates. And they didn't stay in fences very well. And by their own numbers, the Saskatchewan government recognized, you know, 2 or 3% leakage from these farms overall, that they were getting under fences, they were running over fences and plowing through fences and getting out. Even worse, unfortunately, is that in 2001, this market really collapsed. And there was some market, of course, the local fancy restaurants were buying. And so there is still some market there, but nothing like was expected or promised. So unfortunately, people just cut the fence and let them go into the wild. And not just a few, but over many farms. And indeed, you know, we have one not that long ago that was over 300 animals. They just cut the fence and let them all go. And again, I think hoping, dreaming that these would not become established and they would just freeze to death in a Saskatchewan winter. But the other thing that we have to know about pigs and makes them so successful is they're so damn smart.
Yeah.
And they figured out to tunnel into snow. So they build what we call pigloos, where they go into cattail marshes where the snow is thick and soft, and they tunnel into it and make these pigloos. And so there, where it might be minus 35 outside, you know, you cram 1,000 pounds of wild pigs into one of these pigloos, and it might be, you know, -5, -6 inside.
So that could be an indicator for the winter. You know, if you see a bunch of cattails bunched up in some of your wetlands, and they generally travel along wetlands and areas that humans don't frequent, right?
Yes, they love the marshes, especially big sloughs or marshes that are associated with a chunk of forest and some agriculture nearby. So
this has been your Real Agriculture Update. You can find out more about this issue or many others at realagriculture.com.
It's your agri weather forecast on The Source 620 CKRM.
The official 620 CKRM farm weather is brought to you by Shepherd Realty in Regina, specializing in farm and ranch real estate in Saskatchewan. Call Harry, Justin, or Devin at 352-1866. And Moose Jaw Truck Shop, the number one choice for any diesel engine repair. Drop in, no appointment necessary, or visit moosejawtruckshop.com. Sunny sky today, wind northeast 20, the high plus 8, the low minus 8. Wednesday, mainly sunny, wind southeast 20, the high 6 degrees. Tomorrow, wind chill minus 14 tomorrow morning, the low minus 6. Thursday, sunny, the high 8, the low minus 3. Friday, sunny, the high 10, the low 0. Saturday, partly cloudy with a high of 8, the low plus 1. Sunday, partly cloudy, the high 12, the low plus 4. Monday, partly cloudy, the high 15. Normal high is 9, the normal low minus 4. The sun rose at 7:28 this morning. It sets at 5:59 tonight. And around the province, the hot spot is Maple Creek at 6 degrees. The cold spot up north, Key Lake, at 0. Estevan is 5, Saskatoon 4, Swift Current 1, Weyburn 5, Yorkton is 3. Regina, sunny and plus 4, that's 34 Fahrenheit. Winds are from the northeast at 16. Humidity is 55%. The barometric pressure is rising 103.0. Sunny and Moose Jaw 5, winds are from the east-northeast at 17. Once again, Regina, sunny, and plus 4, that's 39 Fahrenheit. Back in a moment.
Get out to an early start on weed control in next year's canola and lentil crop using Group 3 Edge Microactive from Gowan Canada this fall. Edge Microactive, maximize yields today and manage resistance for tomorrow. Always read and follow label directions from Gowan Canada.
You're listening to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with 620 CKRM Agri-News Director Jim Smalley.
This portion of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by McDougall Auctioneers. Get fair market value for your assets with an online auction through McDougall Auctioneers, McDougallAuctions.com. And brought to you by Pattison Liquid Systems, experts in liquid fertilizer distribution. Fertilizer's just better when it's wetter. Pattison Liquid Systems, expect the best. Artificial intelligence is being used in the development of a new mobile app called the Armchair Rancher to help beef producers better manage various aspects of their herd. The work is being done by a team at the University of Alberta and is being financed by a $500,000 grant from the Alberta provincial government. U of A professor David Wishart says the goal is to make ranching operations more efficient and profitable.
You know, being a good rancher is being a good manager, and it's not unlike being sort of a good investment manager. You're investing in your farm, you're investing in your herd. You have to do a lot of planning, and better ranchers probably do a lot of thinking and have a lot of intuition, a lot of experience. But even then, I mean, sometimes they make a bad call, and this is why people in the New York Stock Exchange and the stock traders have all these computer tools at their fingertips to help them make decisions about when to buy, when to sell. And this is, I think, exactly what's needed for the farming community.
Professor Wishart and his team have been collecting terabytes of data.
The project is collecting huge amounts of data about climate and weather, soil quality, lots of information on herds and genetic information on a variety of cattle, bulls that they're from, lots of market data in terms of pricing, both historic and present day, feed costs, fuel costs, information on even stock markets in different parts of the world, sort of like the butterfly effect. Butterfly flapping its wings in China can affect the weather here. There's lots of things that affect profitability, viability of ranches and of the beef industry in Canada. And so what you want is a system that can monitor all of those factors, but that can also predict them. So taking the amount of data measured in gigabytes, even terabytes of data that we're collecting, we're putting it into a computer that will learn the trends and learn the relationships between things. And then it can take present-day information, which it also automatically gathers from the web, and then it's able to predict what will happen 5 days, 5 weeks, 5 months ahead.
Wishart says it's the same type of artificial intelligence used by larger marketers like Netflix and Amazon.
If you buy things on Amazon or you order shows on Netflix, machine learning is used to actually get you to click the things that you might want. So it takes, you know, your past record of what you've done when you've bought on Amazon or what you've watched on Netflix, and it learns. And it learns the things that you like to watch, the things that you like to buy. And so that's kind of what we're doing by collecting the data. And so in some cases we collect something in the immediate past. In some cases, we're collecting data from the past 30 years. You know, long-term trends require a lot of history. Short-term trends only require, you know, a small amount of history. But yeah, you take what you've gathered from the past to predict or learn for the future.
University of Alberta Professor David Wishart talking about the development of the Armchair Rancher mobile app. We'll have more after this.
You're tuned to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today on The Source, 620 CKRM.
This segment of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by Degelmann Industries. Look to Degelmann for the most reliable, dependable, engineered tough equipment on the market. And Arcola Building Supplies, small town lumberyard, big on service. ArcolaBuildingSupplies.com. For the past 6 months, a University of Alberta research team has been working on a new mobile app for cattle producers. Right now, the process is focused on data gathering, but Professor David Wishart says they have noticed some patterns.
It's been interesting just to see some of just how beef prices and the cattle market here is influenced by activities and effects that I don't think we had been fully aware of. So we can look at past trends and current trends, but, you know, beef prices in Chicago affect what beef prices here are in Alberta and the Chicago market sort of defines things. Oil and gas prices affect farming in ways that have about a 2 to 3 month lag. There are other leading indicators that seem to project what will likely happen to the beef market. And then there's some lagging indicators as well. And I think it's the leading indicators that are of most interest to us. And as I say, some of these actually are things like oil, gas, and real estate prices actually affect what ultimately you will be paying for beef. And then there's other effects that, you know, come through government decisions, legislation, certain disease outbreaks, things that you can't expect, but then those will have an effect that, you know, 2 to 3 months later on beef prices. Those are some interesting surprises, some patterns that we've been seeing from the data we've looked at already. It just sort of underlines how complicated being a farmer is and why, you know, having sort of a tool that's out there gathering this information, consolidating this information, and essentially giving you advice is really important.
Professor Wishart is planning to have the initial Armchair Rancher app ready in about a year.
The plan is that we'll finish a lot of our data collection in the next few months. We're already starting to do some of the predictions and projections, and some of them are quite impressive. But it still is, I think, about a year away before we'll have a prototype ready for the ranchers to test. And then we'll use the feedback that they give us, the different scenarios that they're proposing, to sort of refine it. And then I would hope in about a year and a half we'll have this Armchair Rancher ready for ranchers to use. And the intent is it would be something that would sit on their smartphone or their iPad or their laptop or even their desktop computer at home. It'll be connected to the cloud, so we'll use enormous computing resources that we can access through the cloud, and then all of those resources will be sort of fed into the app that the ranchers run. So all the thinking will be done elsewhere, but all the results will be available at their fingertips.
The cost for the app will be minimal because for artificial intelligence to work, a lot of on-the-ground data is required.
At some level, we'd like to make it very cheap or if not even free. There may be a subscription model eventually where this app is provided, but, you know, paid by taxpayers, so it should be, you know, available for taxpayers. I think there may be, you know, additional data that people may want that may be charged out, and some of that actually has to, you know, we have to cover the costs to acquire some of that data. But the intent is to make it essentially very cheap or essentially free, and to model it so that it helps with building a community, because for the system to work, people have to also enter their own data, information about their farm, about their herd, and that data also has to be sort of consolidated. So the more people who use the app, the more benefits people will have from it, because we're able to get more farm-specific data, which is pretty critical to making it work for a specific farm.
That's Professor David Wishart and his team at the University of Alberta developing a mobile phone app to provide additional information on topics like cattle markets, management decisions, and weather. The first version should be ready for on-farm testing in about a year.
The Market Updates with Jim Smalley on The Source, 620 CKRM.
Market Update is brought to you by Nelson GM in Assiniboia and Avonlea. With new inventory arriving daily, they'll find a vehicle that fits your agriculture lifestyle. Proudly serving southern Saskatchewan for over 60 years. See Nelson GM today and Western Ag Professional Agronomy. If you want to make cropping decisions with confidence, visit growmoreprofit.com. Grain prices were showing upward movement in early trading. Viterra prices for canola rose $8.40 at $9.02.12. Number one red spring wheat went up 252 at 416.20. The rest unchanged. Durham 682.53. Feed barley 324.65. Flax 1389.88. Lentils 1007.50. Oats 495.03. Yellow peas 544.89. And feed wheat 261.65. On the Minneapolis Exchange this morning, hard red spring wheat for December gained 4.25 cents at $9.72 a bushel.
It's the Livestock Reports on The Source, 620 CKRM.
The livestock quotes are brought to you by the Weyburn Livestock Exchange. Call Weyburn 842-4574. Now the latest livestock quotes.
This is the market report for the Weyburn Livestock Exchange for the week of October 19th. Cows and bulls are coming home from the pasture now. Anything not right is coming to town. The market on butcher cattle has dropped a bit. D1 and D2 cows sold from 65 cents to 73 cents. D3 cows sold from 60 cents to 65 cents. Canter cows sold from 40 cents to 60 cents, and good butcher bulls sold from $1 to $1.10. We had a pre-sorted Angus sale here on Monday. 300 to 400 pound steers averaged $2.43 and sold at the $2.58. 400 to 450 pound steers averaged $2.29 and sold at the $2.56. 450 to 500 pound steers averaged $2.19 and sold at the $2.56. 500 to 550 pound steers averaged $2.13 and sold up to $2.56. 550 to 600 pound steers averaged $2.05 and sold up to $2.28. 600 to 650 pound steers averaged $2.02 and sold up to $2.14. 650 to 700 pound steers averaged $1.97 and sold up to $2.06. And 700 to 800 pound steers averaged $1.93 and sold up to $2. Heifers were 30 to 40 cents back from the steers. Some of the highlights from the sale were a load of 500-pound black steers at $2.23 a pound, a load of 550-pound black steers at $2.14 a pound, two loads of 600-pound black steers at $2.05 a pound, a load of 700-pound black steers at $2 a pound, and a load of 770-pound exotic steers at $1.98 a pound. This has been Stephanie Digg reporting from the Weyburn Livestock Exchange, the market that gets cattle and the prices too.
Now the latest pork prices.
This is Bill Alford with the Hams Market Commentary for Tuesday, October 19th. Hams sold 7,600 hogs Monday, selling in a range of 192 to 212 per CKG. Today's sales are expected to be around 7,300 head, selling in a range of 191 to 211 per CKG. Hams number one sows this week are down, selling in the range of 56 to 63 cents per pound live weight. Hams cash hog price today is down, and forward contract prices opened lower this morning. On Monday, the Canadian dollar was up 2 basis points, with the daily exchange rate at 1.2375. The Canadian dollar is currently trading at 80.92 cents U.S. Daily U.S. cash prices are lower relative to the previous day, with the negotiated Western Corn Belt, national and national cutout adjusted regions down 55 cents, 44 cents, and 49 cents U.S. 100 weight, respectively. All daily pork cutout component prices in the latest report are lower compared to the week ago average, except for butts and picnics. If the trend is maintained, it will be the fourth week in a row the cutout has been pushing lower, despite strong demand for heavy hams. Lean hog futures have been trading in a sideways pattern since October 13th, and the market has no rationale to move significantly higher or lower, despite massive speculation on the situation in China. There are anecdotal reports of massive culls and producers leaving the industry due to low profitability, which should, in theory, lead to supply constraints in the coming months. In the meantime, however, Pork is flooding the market as the industry attempts to get ahead of losses and essentially pull hogs forward into the supply chain.
Coming up, the Resource Report.
This is the Saskatchewan Resource Report on 620 CKRM. Here's Jim Smalley.
Now the Resource Report, brought to you by the Prairie Co-op Grow Team, fueling farms, feeding families in Cupar, Ituna, Lipton, and Strasburg. And brought to you by Second Look Online Auction. Visit 2ndlookonlineauction.com to see what's up for bid. The Saskatchewan government has proclaimed this week as Cooperatives Week in the province. Trade and Export Development Minister Jeremy Harrison says cooperative businesses create 15,000 jobs in Saskatchewan and provide critical products and services across the province. Approximately 800 cooperatives are currently operating in Saskatchewan in 24 different economic and social sectors, including manufacturing, financial services, retail, childcare, and healthcare. The profits generated by co-ops remain mostly in the province, creating economic value for Saskatchewan communities. Co-op Week will include a flag-raising ceremony, co-op merit awards, and the local co-op Love online scavenger hunt. A new business survey says 35% of Canadian small business was forced to pause operations at some point due to the pandemic. But the survey says more than half, 58% of small business anticipate growth over the next 6 to 12 months. The survey also found several challenges for businesses obtaining adequate IT services during the pandemic. On the markets, the TSX is up 91 points at 21,077. The Dow has gained 174 points at 35,433. Oil is up $1.07 at 82.76. And the Canadian dollar has risen 19 one-hundredths of a cent at 80.96 cents U.S. That's the Resource Report. If you missed any segment of the show, tune in to the on-demand Saskatchewan Agriculture Today podcast, brought to you by Gowan Canada. Gowan Canada understands the challenges growers face and takes pride in finding effective crop protection solutions. Visit GowanCanada.com to learn more. That's Saskatchewan Agriculture Today. I'm Jim Smalley. Good afternoon and good farming.
You've been listening to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with Jim Smalley on 620 CKRM. If you missed any of today's broadcast, download the podcast now online at 620CKRM.com. Saskatchewan Agriculture Today, now starting after the 12 o'clock news on your voice for everything ag. 620 CKRM.
This podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.